What's up, God's people? My name is Pastor Tony Jones. It's been a long time since you probably see me. I am one of the sons of Pastor Andy Thompson, and I am so excited to be bringing the word to you on a Wednesday night. Now, I need you to do something for me. I need you to press like. I need you to share. I need you to tag somebody and let somebody know that World Overcomers is online, and Pastor Tony Jones from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, is here to share a relevant word with you. Listen, I've been watching week after week on Wednesday nights as Pastor Andy and Pastor Manny have been sharing about building our faith. In today's society, guys, we need to have our faith built up, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to live in that marriage and to work that career and do all the things that God has called us to do. And so I'm going to go a little further. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to stay in this vein, in this stream of faith. So I want you to come with me in the Word of God to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. It's going to be good, guys, I promise. And this is about when the prophet came to a widow woman, and she was in some dire straits. Her husband had died, and debt collectors were about to come and take her sons as indentured servants, and she needed help from the Lord. So let's start here at the first verse. It says, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets called Elisha, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditors have come to take my two sons to be slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in my house except a jar of oil." Listen to this, guys. Then he said, "Go outside, borrow as many vessels from your neighbors as you can, and borrow not a few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself, you and your sons, and pour into all of these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him. She shut the door behind herself and her sons, and she poured as they brought vessels to her. Let's look at this at 6. It says this. It says, "And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'Mother, we do not have another.' And then the oil stopped flowing." I want you all to pay close attention to that. I'm going to read that again. "And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel, son.' And he said, 'Mom, I don't have any more vessels left.'" And look at what happened, guys. "And then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go and sell that oil. Pay all of your debts. You and your sons can now live in rest.'" I want you to stay with me just for a couple of minutes. I know whenever somebody preaches a popular sermon, people always think, "Oh, I know he's going to go there, and I know he's going to go there." But I want you to focus in on 6 that I read already twice. It says, "And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'Mother, don't have any more vessels.'" In other words, we have run out of capacity to get more oil. And then, the oil stopped. This is a very interesting segment of scripture. A lot of people always draw their attention to her obeying the man of God and get as many vessels as you can and her faith to do that. And that's all well and good. But I was drawn to this regarding her faith, that when they ran out of vessels, the oil stopped. Had you ever thought about that? Which, in other words, if you flip it on its head, if she had kept producing vessels and jars to capture the oil would have never stopped flowing. And so my topic for the next few minutes on this Wednesday night is supply and demand. I want you to type that in the chat. I want you to type supply and demand. Supply and demand. You understand, the supply and demand is an economic term. And it's an economic term. We all know that the prices of houses are skyrocketing. I know in this area and in North Carolina because there is more demand for people to buy houses because they lowered interest rates than there is supply. And so when there's always a greater demand than a supply, it drives prices up. Consequently, on the other end, we all wait for the end of the year, Black Friday sales and all those things. Whenever a retailer has things in surplus, it means that there is more supply than there is demand. And so the value of the item that they once sold at $100 is now 20 and 30 and 40% off because they are trying to generate more demand. They know that if I lower the price, I will generate more demand. Somebody say supply and demand. And we're looking at a supply and demand situation. It's not that God ran out of oil. Y'all got to understand that a miracle was produced because the prophet told her, look, what is it that you have in your house? She said, all I have is a little cruiser oil. And he said, well, look, God is going to bless that. I want you to go and I want you to obey the instructions. See, the miracle didn't start getting produced when he said it. The miracle started getting produced when she was obedient. He said, go to all of your neighbors and get all the jars that you can. And when you close the door behind you and your sons and you start to draw out of that jar of oil, and it is going to continually and miraculously start producing after itself. So there was a principle there that obedience produces miracles. Obedience produces an environment that is conducive for God to move and God to manifest himself. But look at this. When they ran out of jars, the miracle stopped flowing. And so we're talking about supply and demand. If that doesn't make sense to you, everybody has to fill up their gas tank, unless you have a Tesla or some kind of electric vehicle. Everybody has to fill up their gas tank. And I don't know about you, but it's costing $3.50, $3.70 to fill up a car per gallon because OPEC, the countries that produce oil, they said we're going to cut off the supply. We're not going to produce as many barrels of oil as we used to. Therefore, they collaborate as a cartel to drive up the price. And as a result, we are paying the price at the pump because the oil-producing countries are saying we're cutting off our production of oil. Thus, what they're saying is, I am cutting off the supply to drive up demand. Therefore, I am driving up the price. Supply and demand. If y'all don't understand that, I've got one more example for you. I am the proud father of three children. I got a 16-year-old, I got a 15-year-old, and I got an 11-year-old. Y'all pray for me because it's getting real sketchy and real wild around the house. Fights everywhere, right? But when my children were born, when my son, he's the oldest, he's about 6'2 now, and looks just like me, just taller. And when that was our first baby, and my wife nursed all of our children. God bless her. God bless you, moms, for the sacrifices that you make. And she nursed my son, and he would get hungry, and she would put him up to her breast, and he would just drink until he went to sleep, and she would lay him down, and I thought she was finished. But what she would do when she finished nursing my son, what she would do, she would go over and get a pump. I said, honey, why are you doing that? She said, because I've still got more milk in me than he drank. And so if I don't pump this off of me, my body will think that there is no more demand for it. Therefore, the miracle of the female body is it only produces milk as long as the baby is creating a demand for it. Do you follow me? And so as a result, my son couldn't eat that much to keep up. So what she had to do, she had to pump the milk and put it in the refrigerator. Therefore, she was fooling her body to think that there was a large amount of demand so that she could keep on producing the milk that he needed. Supply and demand. You might be saying, Pastor Tony, what in the world are you talking about gas? And what are you talking about oil? And what are you talking about breast milk? I didn't come here to talk about this. What I am saying is this is a principle. God always gives us worldly examples of spiritual principles. And could it be possible that the reason you are not seeing God in operation in your life, the reason that you are not seeing oil flowing is not because there is a supply problem, because my father is rich with houses and lands. He holds the world in the palm of his hand. He has up in heaven, there are streets laden with gold. There are walls with jasper and all types of jewels. God is not short on supply. Could it be possible that we are short on demand? Supply and demand. I'll tell you this. that God has given us dominion in this earth realm. And some things will not be released from heaven except they first be demanded in the earth realm. So ask yourself, when is the last time I demanded something? See, when you hear the connotation of the word demand, you think about somebody who's a bull in a china shop, some big bully walking through, and somebody is giving, you know, giving people that work at a customer service desk a hard time, and they're really brutish, and they're very vulgar, and they're very just inconsiderate of other people in the place and making a scene. Yeah, that's one thing, but see, the devil wants us to be like that we don't want to be like that. But I've got examples right here in the Word of God where people made a demand on the Spirit of God. And God wasn't even thinking about them, but they got God's attention. One example, in Luke, the 8th chapter, very familiar. There's a woman who had an issue of blood, and Word of God says that she had went to all the doctors that she could, and she had went everywhere, and she only got sicker, and she had ran out of money. But she heard that Jesus was passing by. She said, you know what? She said, you know, look, I've tried everything. Either I'm going to stay here and die, or I'm going to risk. And you have to understand that the demand that she made, it was a risky move. Somebody type risky. In order to make a demand, sometimes there is an element of risk that you're going to have to take. If you're going to make a demand, you have to understand, she went out amongst the people. She was unclean. She could have been stoned. She could have been killed. But the Word of God said that she groveled on the ground. She didn't say, hey, Jesus, I need you. I need you. She groveled on the ground, and she said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. He said, wait a minute, something happened. He was in a big throng of people. He said, somebody touch me. And I said, Jesus, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's a multitude. There's always a multitude around you. People are touching you all the time, and people are begging you and pleading for you to have mercy on them. What are you talking about? Jesus said, no. There was a touch that was different. Somebody made a demand on me that is different from everybody in this crowd. And he turned around and he saw her, and she was shaking and she was trembling because she knew that she had touched a rabbi, and she knew that she was in violation of the law. She had broken a rule. But she said, look, if they kill me, I might as well be dead, because it's not going to last much. I'm not going to last much longer if I stay in this state. And he said, daughter, look at this, y'all. Your faith has made you whole. Not me. Because I was walking through here just like for everybody else. But there was something about your touch. You made a demand on me that was different from everybody else around you. And your faith to make a demand on the supply of healing that resided in Jesus made her whole. Somebody say supply and demand. And if you don't understand that, there was another example in Mark, the 10th chapter, of a blind man called Bartimaeus. Once again, he couldn't see. But he used what he had at his disposal, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. And so he said, look, I've been blind since birth. People, I'm tired of laying at the gate asking for alms. I want to be productive. I want to do something with my life. I'm tired of being like this. I know people are going to take care of me, but I've got an independent streak in me, and I just don't want to just be begging for people. And I'm hearing that Jesus is passing by. And so he said with the loudest voice he could, he said, look, I can't see, but I can't hear. And God did bless me with a big mouth. And so he said, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And he didn't get a response the first time. And so he said it again, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And by that time, he started disturbing people around me. He said, come on, Bartimaeus, man. Look, this is Jesus, man. You're making us look country, and you're making us look backwards. Why are you yelling at him? Why are you making all this ruckus and all this noise? He said, look, I don't care about none of y'all. See, y'all can see, so it's easy for y'all to get inconvenienced and bothered, but I need Jesus to heal me. I've tried everything, and I'm still in this state, so just perhaps if I make a demand with my voice and my faith, that Jesus will come and see about me. Point two, that making a demand is disruptive. Yeah, you're going to bother some people. Some people are going to tell you, hey, don't mess up the status quo. Just go with the flow. They no, man, don't mess it up. That's not the politically correct thing to do. And don't bother them because they got other things on their mind. But what I am telling you is that the faith in you will demand that something change. and it doesn't matter who it disrupts. It doesn't matter whose apple cart you turn over. How bad do you want what you need from the master? Blind Bartimaeus understood the principle of supply and demand. I can't see, but I'm going to use what I have to make a demand on Jesus. Last example I have for you is in Matthew, the 15th chapter. There was a Canaanite woman that ran into Jesus. And her daughter was oppressed by the devil. She's like, this is my chance. Like, that's Jesus. Like, that's Jesus, girl. Yeah, that's Jesus. Jesus, would you come and see about my daughter? My daughter is oppressed by the devil, and your reputation precedes you. And I know that you don't normally deal with us. Because y'all understand? See, the Jews and the Canaanites, they were at odds with each other. And so they didn't get along. They had like a little feud going between each other. He said, lady, I don't mean no harm, but I've only come for the Jews. That's what Jesus told her. She said, sir, but I understand that. But would you make an exception this one time? He said, look, it is not lawful. It is not lawful for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Now, I don't know about y'all, but you see, people like to paint Jesus as this nice little flowing, little yuppie guy that's always, hi, guys, I'm here to bless you. But Jesus literally called the woman a dog. He insulted her. And she said, okay. Now, how many of y'all could have taken Jesus insulting? You'd be like, something like, wait a minute, Jesus, what you are not going to do, what you're not going to do is call me a dog to my face. Now you y'all can talk about me all y'all want to when we leave, but you're not going to call me a dog. No, she didn't do. She said, you know what? Touche. I'll give you that one, Jesus. I ain't going to argue about that. She said, but even the dogs, oh, God, I thank you. Even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Good night. Listen. That woman made a demand on Jesus with her tenacity. She would not give up. She's like, you can insult me. You can call me a dog. You can call me whatever you want to call me. You can say I'm not fit. You can say I'm not on your level, and I may not be. But I understand that there is power when you say something, when you declare something, that my daughter's need is greater than my need to be respected at this moment. And so her tenacity, her willingness to be humble, say, you know what? You can call me a dog. That's cool. That's cool, Jesus. I'm going to give it to you this time. But what I am saying is you can call me a dog, but even the dogs get a crumb from the table. And I need a crumb, Jesus. You ain't got to give me the whole loaf. I want what's in the loaf. And her tenacity, she didn't get caught up in pride. She didn't get caught up defending her honor. You going to disrespect me like that, Jesus? No, she didn't get into any of that. She said, whatever, man. You can call me whatever. I know that you have the supply to what I need. So I'm making a demand on you. And by faith, I know you don't respond to my tears. You don't respond to my sob story. But you will respond to my faith. And if we as believers in 2021 could get that principle, but that God is not moved by your emotions. He is not moved by your sad story. He is not moved by the fact you were born on the wrong side of the tracks and mama gave you up and all that stuff. But he is moved by your faith. And so I'm here to shake you by the lapels and compel you to make a demand when it's not convenient. Make a demand when people are calling you out your name. Make a demand when you are looking crazy. Make a faith move. Make a declaration. Be willing to look silly and foolish for the sake of the supply. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody type in there, supply and demand. Tell somebody, I'm going to demand. I'm going to demand. I'm going to demand. And so, like I said before, there's not a supply problem. I would argue there is not a supply problem. There is a demand problem. That God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. God wants to make you debt-free and prosperous more than you want to be debt-free and prosperous. But he's also a God of principle. He said, unless you make the right demand in the right posture of faith, my hands are tied because my word is settled forever in heaven and I can't trump my own word. So my question to you is, why have you stopped demanding? I know your testimony from 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I know the miracle God did back in the 1990s. But why have you stopped demanding? In other words, why has the oil stopped flowing? Let's be honest. We're in the second year, almost complete revolution of a pandemic. And we start out saying, you know, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let this. I'm still going to do exploits for the Lord. I'm still going to start the business. I'm still going to do all these things. I'm still, we start with all this swift running and all this passion in our feet. And somehow, some way, enough disappointment, enough time passed that we stop making demands. But God said, that's the only way I'm going to release what I have for you if you make a demand for it. I'm not going to force feed you the good of heaven. I need you to make a demand. So I got a couple reasons why we stop demanding. One reason is because of complacency and satisfaction. We feel like we've arrived. We look at where we used to be and we look at where we are. And we say, you know what? Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. And we get comfortable. We get like the children of Israel. They were happy they were just out of Egypt when God designed for them to inherit Canaan. And they got stuck in the middle to the point where only a handful of people that left Egypt were able to inherit Canaan because they got comfortable in not being slaves anymore. They got complacent. When they were slaves, they were crying out to God. God, please deliver us. They had passion and they were committed and they were praying because one day God is going to deliver. And as soon as God delivered them, God didn't just deliver them. They left with wealth and riches and he swallowed Pharaoh and his army up in the sea. And as soon as they ran up against a dilemma where they didn't have any water or any food, Moses, we were better off as slaves. Got complacent and he stopped demanding. Number two, we have stopped demanding for fear of standing out. That the fact of the matter is that making a demand causes you to stand out. And maybe the circle around us, they talk a good game, but they're not about that business. They're not about stepping out on faith. They're not about doing the hard things. And they make declarations, I'm always about to and fitting to and all that good stuff. But you never see any action behind it, or you never see any stick-to-itiveness regarding what they do. And you stepping out on faith and you continuing to get jars and you continue and you're continuing to make a demand is a reproach to them. And so what they would do is, like, you're doing too much. See, I want to hip you to the verbiage and the vernacular of haters. Why are you doing too much? You need balance and you need all those things and you going too hard after that and if you do that you need to stop and smell the roses sometimes. Look, they don't know what your destiny is. They don't know what burns in your soul. They don't know what the steps that you have to walk out. They don't understand that when you're laying at the pillow or laying at the night looking up at the ceiling. With your head on your pillow, how your future is taunting you and saying you're never going to make it. So they don't have the fire that burns in them like it burns in you. And so what we do, we turn down the level of our demand to meet the comfort of those around us. And God's saying, I need you to turn up your demand. Don't turn it down. Somebody say supply and demand. Tell somebody, I'm going to demand it. I don't know what your it is, but I need you to demand it. With all you have within you. And the third one is the reason that we stop demanding is that we have a distorted self-image. There's a passage in the Bible where Moses sent spies out to spy out the land. They were in the wilderness and say, I need y'all to go and find Canaan. I need to bring back proof. And there were 12 spies that were sent out. 10 of them came back and say, yo, Moses, there are some, like, we got grapes that are this huge. We got pomegranates that are this huge, but also there are giants in the land, okay? And look at what they said. They said, we are grasshoppers in our own sight compared to them. They forgot that they were children of the Most High God that sent plagues into Egypt. The same one that turned water to blood. The same one that parted a Red Sea and they walked over on dry land. How soon we forget how mighty the God is that we serve when we are faced with something that seems insurmountable. And so as a result of what they saw visually, externally, internally, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And so what we do, we handle things as long as it's light work. We get excited. But when something is big and it seems like a mountain that we have to climb and it seems like it's something that's insurmountable, all of a sudden we say, like, God, I know you say I can do all things through Christ, but this one here looks big. This sickness diagnosis looks big. These enemies that are plotting against me at work, these things look big and look like they're going to take me out. And what we do, rather than go forward, we turn down our demand. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb. They say, look, everything they said is true. Here are the grapes, and those people are really big. But we are well able to overcome them. They had the proper self-image. And guess what? Joshua and Caleb were one of the few that made it to see Canaan because they said, they are big, but our God is bigger. And so I want you to understand that even though these things come to squelch and to turn down your demand, you have to keep a good self-image. You have to be willing to stand out, and you have to not have a spirit of complacency. So the last thing I want to leave you with this is this. Why should I turn up my demand? I'm glad you asked me. Here's why you should turn up your demand. It's because Jesus died for this. Jesus died. He said in John 10:10, he said, the thief come just to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. He came to die to give us the abundant life, not just to make it into heaven. And I'm glad when I close my eyes and wake up on the other side, I'm going to have my reward in eternity. But Jesus, I come that you might have life. Life meaning in this realm, and life to the full till it overflows. Jesus came and died for what he wants you to demand. So don't waste his sacrifice. Don't waste what he came for. Don't waste what he suffered for. Don't waste what he suffered, bled, and died for by just living a mediocre existence. Get everything that's for you. Make a demand. The second thing is, you're entitled to this. You deserve this. You need to have, and a lot of times, a sense of entitlement gets a bad rap. We've all encountered people that are entitled. But you are an heir. Look at this, y'all. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. His own rejected him. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, meaning that we have a seat at the table. And let me tell you something about royalty. The grandsons and the sons of Queen Elizabeth, they are raised to have a certain air of expectation that when I walk in the room, people should stand up. When I walk in the room, I should be treated like royalty. They don't even have to say it. Their very aura and their presence demands respect and decorum. Well, you may say, Pastor, I'm not a prince. Yes, you are. You are an heir, and you are a joint heir in the kingdom of God. That makes you a prince. That makes you a princess. That makes you a king of kings. Jesus, the word of God said he's a king of kings. And so there's a certain level that you should demand. There's a certain level of living that you should demand. There's a certain level of treatment that you should demand, all because you're entitled to it based on who your daddy is. Your daddy is the code word that gets you in rooms that you don't deserve to be in, all because of supply and demand. And the last thing I want to leave with you, and I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. The reason that we should demand is because there is more. There is more. Somebody type in the chat, there is more. There is more. Just like there was more oil And they had kept producing jars. There was more oil. There is more. I know God has done great things in your life, but there is more. I know he's healed your body time after time, but there is more. I know he's done a plethora of things, and I know he's taking you from the back to the front, and you have an amazing story. But out of all the past 2 years and all the deaths that we've seen because of coronavirus and all this stuff, do you realize that God didn't leave you here just to exist? He left you here because there is more. There is more for you. As great as your testimony is, God said there are higher heights and deeper depths in me, and I want to do more. But I can't do anything, beloved, if you don't make a demand. So I want you to commit to being a demander, being a demander. God is the supplier, but there is no good of having supply unless we make a demand. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, how this word has impacted us. Lord, it even impacted me while it was coming out of me, that you have called us to make a demand on what you want to supply. You are not slack, not concerning your promises. There is no shortage in heaven. You bless your children bountifully. It is your good pleasure to make us prosperous and to make us wealthy and make us wise and give us great relationships and to further our career. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, would you please forgive us for not being the demanders that you have called us to be. Lord, the kingdom cycle is completed when we make the proper demand on your spirit. Lord, you say without faith it's impossible to please you, God. So by faith today, we declare that we will continue to be demanders of your word, demanders of your promise, and demanders of the principles that you bless your children by. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We pray that you've been blessed today. Listen, one way that you can continue making a demand is that you sow into the good ground of World Overcomers Christian Church. Let me tell you something. They are making impact all over the world, and Pastor Anna has been sharing a vision about Victory Park, and I'm telling y'all, this is going to be a phenomenal thing, and you want to be a part of what God is doing. And so there is a link in the chat. You can give on the World Overcomers app. You can give on the World Overcomers website, any kind of way. Call the church, whatever you have to do, but get in on the ground floor and sow good seed into good ground. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you.